Oh, how about that? Wolf, you've held it together for 3 hours so far.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Go ahead and flash the quad. Hour number four of the Doug and Wolf Show on a Cowbell Friday. Go ahead and bang the cowbell, Basinonians, if you got it. Jonathan, where are you, brother? Flash the four. The captain of the quad squad, our number four of the Doug and Wolf Show. Pull on them Jordache jeans, boy. Break out that neon comb and brush back that fine feathered hair. Punch it. Everybody's working for the weekend. And it feels good. Lover Boy still touring, by the way. Did you know that? Still out there on tour. Oh, my goodness.
How have they not been in studio yet just for Paul? I mean, before coronavirus.
Right. I was not a big fan of Loverboy, my friend. You want a piece of my heart? But my older brother, Craig, he was. Pull on them Jordache jeans, Craig. Brush back that fine feathered hair when you had it with your big neon comb that you could have used as a personal safety device. Unbelievable. Here we go.
By the way, you heard Wolf call out Jonathan. You get a guaranteed retweet if you tweet the Doug and Wolf Show after 9 o'clock with a selfie of you flashing the four. Two criteria. One, you have hashtag quad squad. Two, you're not driving while you take the selfie.
Yes.
And then we give you a guaranteed retweet. And Jonathan is on a streak of about 108 weeks in a row where he is continually sending us the first selfie after 9 o'clock. So yes, this today it's with a mask on. He has tweeted with his mask.
There we go. I'll go 109.
So, we got to give him credit for that. I want to be very, this to me is an important topic, but I want to be careful and not sound like the political correct police, because I think it's really important when someone says something, especially in today's environment, we look at the person saying it, we don't completely flip out, but you kind of look at it and say, okay, should you possibly look at this in a different light? Should you possibly, now that you've said it, maybe realize, you know what, there's another way to look at this and it might not make sense? And Malcolm Jenkins did that yesterday when he was on CNN, when he said something about football, which I know what he meant, and yet does he really see it in every point of view?
But we end up being kind of on this trust system where the honor system, where we just have to hope that guys are social distancing and things like that. And that puts all of us at risk, not only, you know, us as players and who's in the building, but when you go home to your families. I have parents that I don't want to get sick. And I think until we get to the point where we have protocols in place, and until we get to a place as a country where we feel safe doing it, we have to understand that football is a non-essential business. And so we don't need to do it. And so the risk, has to be really eliminated before I would feel comfortable with going back.
I think he's just talking about his perspective here. I mean, life is about perspective, period, right? And it's his perspective, of course, that he doesn't feel comfortable about doing that, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't that what he's saying, really?
And I have zero problem with any of that.
You know, absolutely. If he doesn't feel comfortable, that's fine. But when he calls it a non-essential, it's non-essential to you, Malcolm Jenkins. That's the one thing we've got to remember. And it's kind of easy to say when you've already got 12 years in the league. Malcolm Jenkins has 12 years in the league, and hopefully, if he's been smart with his money, he's made an awful lot of it. He should be set for life. He and his family should be set for life right there. And it's easy to call it a non-essential business when that's your situation.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not disagreeing with anything that Malcolm Jenkins said, except it's from his perspective. Calling it non-essential, that's easy to do from his perspective. But for somebody else, and I'm not just talking about players, I'm talking about the support staff, whose livelihood depends on there being an NFL season.
And you can imagine, if you're a hardcore listener to the Doug and Wolf Show, what it's like in the social media world, where if I talk about something that seems a little bit mundane, like not finishing my meal and sending it back or something, and then immediately getting bombarded by tweets of people that tell me that I am complete and utter trash because I didn't immediately put it in a box and then drop it off on a street corner or something, and I'm this terrible human being, instead of having a kind way of somebody saying, hey, have you ever thought of it this way? Have you ever looked at it? Maybe you could do this? Or if I say something, you know, I can't believe, like here's an example. The San Francisco Giants are doing something that I think is hilarious. San Francisco Giants, if you're a season ticket holder, you're going to get you can send in a picture and they'll make a free cutout of you and put it as close as they can to your seat. But if you're not a season ticket holder, you pay $99 for that same thing and they'll give you the best available seat. For your family cardboard cutout, your individual cutout, whatever you want to be. I think that's hysterical. And if I'm in a financial position to do it, I think it's kind of funny. And if I'm a season ticket holder, I'm definitely doing it. But you can automatically hear a crowd of people being totally bent out of shape at you spending $99 to do that because you think it's fun. You could have done this with the money. You could have done that with you know, people like that happen
really?
All the time. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, please.
Yeah. There's that crowd all the time that tell you how to spend your money and tell you you should have spent it here or you should have done this for charity. And they don't even look at, well, how much have you been giving to charity anyway?
You got that and right.
Things like that. Well, I'm not doing that at all to Malcolm Jenkins when you say football's non-essential. Because if we're comparing it to teachers, if we're comparing it to healthcare workers that are fighting on the front line, okay, you're right. Football's non-essential in that sense. But listen to Dan Orlovsky, and I love his different point of view to really remind you what it means to different players.
A great majority of the NFL guys live paycheck to paycheck. They are not just taking care of their family. They're taking care of their families, plural, family members. And so it's essential because those guys that are at the third year of their career, this might be the last year that they can make that $500,000 or $600,000. They need this season, and that's why those guys are going to sit there and go, wait, this is the only opportunity I have to make that money? Tell me where and when. Tell me what I have to do. I'll quarantine myself for 150 days or 180 days away from my family because that's the only way I'll make my money. My wife is going to agree with that as well. And so, you know, if you're a guy who's in your fourth year and it's a contract year for you and you have to go perform to receive that second contract, you're going to be like, when and where?
I just think it's myopic to continue to focus on just players, right?
Mm-hmm.
On just the players. I mean, what Dan Orlovsky just said is 100% true. There's no doubt about that. I totally understand what he said, but once again, to call it non-essential, it's all about point of view. It's all about perspective. That's what life is, ladies and gentlemen. And you stop and think about it, to call football non-essential. What about all the people that are normal people that aren't players? They're not coaches. All the normal people where their jobs basically depend on their being in NFL season. What about all of those people? What about people that make ends meet working on the weekends during NFL season,
exactly.
Right? I mean, think about all the people that are dependent on their being an NFL season. Do you think they would call it non-essential? No, they'd call it essential. That's why I'm sorry. It's just the perspective on this. I just think is, wow, self-centered.
Yeah. And if I was talking to him, I'd just say, hey, have you looked at it like this versus the new way of doing things? I shouldn't say the new way. It's been this way for, you know, millions of years, of flying off the handle when somebody says something like that. Well, what about this perspective? What about this guy that, as you just mentioned, his family struggles to eat if he's not doing this extra job
goodness.
Over the weekend? How many of you have just had your world rocked? There's so many people that are a vendor at both Chase Field and over at the arena. Boom.
Hey.
That world's gone.
Do you know how many bus drivers make really, really good money when they're driving a team around over the weekend?
Oh, yeah, there? Yeah.
Think of how many bus drivers make really, really good money, Basinonians, when they're driving around a football team. They're driving around an NFL team. That weekend is essential, I would imagine, to them. Maybe they're making ends meet. Again, I'm talking about the normal person that is dependent on these NFL seasons coming off and these games being played. So, again, I've got a problem with calling it non-essential, and that's it. I don't think anything Malcolm Jenkins said was necessarily wrong at all, especially if he was talking about his perspective. But he kind of made it sound like it was just all about a player when there are so many other jobs that are out there that are dependent on the NFL playing games.
Yeah, totally, totally feel that way too. Coming up next, Devin Booker has been tested. Is he one of the 16? We'll explain next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. The number is 16. 16 players in the NBA tested positive.
Wow.
302 NBA players, official numbers 5.3% positive tests for the NBA as they are starting to get ready to play. Monday is your mandatory report day to your practice facility. A week from Tuesday, next Tuesday, is when the Suns are scheduled to go to Orlando and enter the bubble. D-Book is not one of the 16 as of right now.
You good, Devin? What's going on? All
right. I don't know, bro. I just got tested yesterday. I'm clear.
All right. That's good.
That's so funny. That's his Twitch stream in which I think he had, I forget, but I watched the whole thing, and I can't remember which one I was watching, but I think he had just sneezed or just coughed pretty bad. And somebody teased him about it, and he goes, no, I just got tested yesterday. I'm good. And then that pause after you hear somebody say that you don't have any issues, I guess it's the social distancing of approval of a negative test.
Clear.
All right. That's good.
All right, that's good.
Yeah. And also, too, I mean, this is time-stamped, of course, when these guys do this, right? And that was around 1:30 right there, and it was yesterday, right? It was June 25th. And what's so weird about that is 3 hours later, of course, he got tested again.
Yeah.
He got tested again, and he was talking about it. He was saying goodbye to the guy who actually tested him, right, 3 hours later, and... Boy, I thought that was interesting because if you listen to Devin Booker saying, I just got tested yesterday, and then 3 hours later that day, that means he got a test both days, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know what that means, ladies and gentlemen, but wow, that kind of blew me away right there. Are they testing on a daily basis?
Everybody so far has had different protocols. The NFL looks at testing every other day. Is what they think is going to be okay. Major League Baseball, I can't remember how often that they're going to test. I think it's multiple times a week that they said. And the NBA, heavy testing going on now, and they'll worry about next year. But they are going through heavy testing, especially before you get into the bubble. I think it might be, and Devin Booker might be backing it up. I believe it's every day going into the bubble,
interesting.
Yeah, and then every time that you go, once you get in the bubble, I think it's going to be multiple times per week, but not as many once you're in the bubble.
Right.
Now, your family members cannot come see you until you've been able to get past the first round of the playoffs. So you got to play your scrimmages. Then you play your 8 regular season games. Then you have the first round, which is still going to be best of 7. And then almost half of, or more than half of the group is gone now. So then they'll let families come in. But families have to be able to prove they've had 2 negative tests before they're allowed into the bubble.
Well, that's what it's got to be, Doug Lee, just right there. I mean, it's got to be a situation where they're testing every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be that, I would imagine, right? Because if in fact, here's the other only other thing I'm talking about is once you test positive, it takes 2 negative tests just over 24 hours. It takes 2 negative tests before they'll clear you from isolation. So it's got to be the former, I would imagine, here, knowing that Devin Booker says he's clear of COVID. There's nothing, no problems here, no issues here. So it's got to be maybe they're testing every day. That's mm-hmm. what it's coming down to, right?
Then
I would imagine.
I'm only guessing by what he just said. I don't remember reading in the protocols you're going to test every day going into the bubble. I just knew it was going to be heavy testing. But
okay.
I'm guessing because he said exactly what you've already described.
Right.
I got tested yesterday. 3 hours later, I said I'm saying goodbye to the guy that just came in to test me.
Right.
The other thing to look at is this is Frank Isola, one of the great NBA writers of have we really accepted, you know, just how hard it is going to be in the bubble?
It's still a sacrifice that they're making. It's something they're not used to, being away for that long. It's not going to be easy for them. That's why I think if you talk to a lot of NBA people, coaches, players, yes, the team that is, you know, in great health, that's going to help. The team that's playing at a high level, that'll help. But they also think the teams that could be mentally focused, because it's going to be a bit of a drain being there for that long. Guys could go a little stir crazy because it's something that they've never done before.
Oh, this is huge. I mean, this honestly is a big deal. And it's not just for Orlando. It's not just for the NBA. I'm talking about all these professional sports as they get going. The distractions. I was talking about Bill Belichick earlier, playing for him in 1992 and 93. Number one thing, my number one takeaway from playing for Bill Belichick was do your job. The number two thing, no distractions. I kid you not, he was so adamant about not creating any distractions whatsoever. Do you think there's distractions involved in Orlando in the NBA? Yes. Do you think there's distractions in terms of re-firing the Major League Baseball? Yes. Or the NHL? Yes. Restarting all of this, the NFL, are there distractions? You better believe it. All of the stuff that is going on in the world right now. I mean, COVID-19, right? The social issues as well. Just this time off. How disjointed they've got mm-hmm. to feel. That's why I think you can't look at any team and say, oh, the Dodgers are, they're going to come back and they're going to be the Dodgers. You can't make any assumptions, good or bad.
This is, by the way, Maloney just sent me a quick email that during his Twitch stream on his channel Thursday, Booker revealed that he was actually getting his latest coronavirus test at his house, and Booker said they're getting tested every 2 days. And then, and that confirms the Arizona Republic's report that of Sun players, confirmed that of some of the Suns players testing positive. So that's from our story too at azsports.com. I was going by what you said, Wolf, with the timestamp of if he says I got tested yesterday and then now he's saying goodbye to somebody else, does that mean you got tested twice in a row? But from I thought they were getting tested every other day, and that's what I was kind of going by until I admit I'm a little confused by what Devin Booker did.
Yeah, I'm just going to tell you right now, I had no idea they were being tested even every other day. No idea that was going on. But it makes perfect sense, of course, right, with the voluntary programs reenacted right now. It makes perfect sense. But having said that, again, I was just going based on what he said, that and the timestamps.
Mm-hmm. And how that then applies for the next thing. Coming up next, the D-backs are getting ready to have spring training 2.0. That's coming up next week. Then 3 weeks of spring training, and then it's time for the season. Are they built for a 60-game season? And can they actually catch the Dodgers? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. I gotta tell you, I think this is pretty clever. You might think this is a total waste of time, but I think it's pretty clever. Andrew Baggerly, writer, mostly baseball dude for The Athletic, has just started a list of about eight teams of what they call their other team. Because remember, this year you don't have minor league teams. You have a group of players that are staying healthy, that are staying sharp, and they're playing in probably some intra-squad games against each other. Maybe you mix in a game that's almost like a Strux League game or something. But this group of players that's ready at a moment's notice if somebody gets hurt or if you've got a coronavirus wave that goes through your baseball team. So here are the names that he came up with. For the Phillies team, it'll be the Phil-ins. for the Dodgers. And for those of you who don't know, their name is actually taken off of an old game in Brooklyn called trolley dodging, or people that would just get hit by the trolleys because they weren't paying attention in Brooklyn. So it's the taxi Dodgers instead of the trolley Dodgers. Loose Rocks. The A's backup team will just be called the B's.
And okay, I like it. I get it. Doug.
The Tampa Bay Rays are the holding tank.
Okay, all
and
right.
And the San Francisco Giants team is an old, old phrase. They might be Giants.
All right, the Giants.
So I don't know if anybody wants to send in some D-back phrases of what the D-backs B team will be called, the E-backs or something. You know, I don't know what you want to call, but I admit I was pretty entertained.
That's funny stuff right there, Doug Lease. But honestly, you mentioned the Giants, and all I can think of is what you said earlier about the Giants and the fact that they're going to display cutouts, cardboard.
Yeah, yeah. If you're a season ticket holder, you send in a picture and you get a free cutout that's weatherproof that gets put as close as they can to your seat. And then if you're not a season ticket holder, they'll do the same thing for you, but it costs you $99 per person.
Okay, Doug Lease, is this the first team who actually thought of this? Is that what you're saying?
I know for sure they're doing it in Bundesliga, where you can do it in the German league, where you get to send in your picture and they'll do it. But they're the first team I've heard in Major League Baseball doing it.
What a brilliant idea.
I love it too.
This is, ladies and gentlemen.
I do love it.
Whoever came up with this, unmitigated genius, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, give that man his money. Yes. Fans are going to eat this cupcake in one bite.
Especially if you're a season ticket holder. I mean, you're a guy. I mean, you talk about doing something cool for a season ticket holder to try to keep them engaged, and then you're watching the game. And why not go full on? That, you know, if Buster Posey, I almost said Buster only. If Buster Posey hits a double, you immediately flash to a fan's, you know, poster board of themselves with their hands up in the air cheering. And we got a really funny tweet a little bit earlier from a Doug and Wolf listener, and I can't remember who it was, I apologize, who actually said, I'm going to spend the $99 and buy myself in a D-back shirt. It was Adam. And spend the $99 and put myself in a D-back shirt and try to get on in San Francisco.
Without a doubt.
I don't think that'll happen. But again, how outrageous is if the D-backs do it and we can't even win that battle? That we've got Dodger cutouts at Chase Field.
Yeah, right.
Come on.
Forget about that right there.
I think it'll be blocked.
This is pure genius. It really is. I'm a season ticket holder, and I can stay at home and watch my cutout behind home plate. I mean, honestly, you're going to be in the center field shot when the pitch is being delivered. There you are. How much money are you willing to actually pay for that?
If you're the D-backs, why not have that batter's box suite filled with cutouts of different people every time?
Just, well, okay, we'll rotate you.
Yeah, you rent out the suite, and they only charge you, they charge you $1.50, and they send you a jersey or something like that, and or something, some memorabilia to go with it, and then you get to put 12 cardboard cutouts in there or something.
Yeah, whatever it may be. Are you kidding me right now? How many people are going to want this? People lose their mind over the bobblehead thing right now. Can you imagine? You're going to get your own cardboard cutout. That's what you're going to. How much would you be willing to pay for this?
You know who I guarantee will do it? Gambo.
Oh, my goodness. Gambo wouldn't do that.
Oh, yeah. Gambo's putting his picture right behind the third base dugout.
No,
absolutely.
He would not.
Absolutely.
This is absolutely beautiful. What I don't understand, though, in the story that I'm reading, it says they'll get your cutout as close to your seat as possible, which I don't understand that. You're a season ticket holder. You should know what seat the guy has. Stick him in it. It's not like you have to social distance the cardboard cutouts.
Well, you don't know because of what if Rob Manfred's going to attend, his cutout's going to attend that game. Now everybody gets moved over. So you don't know per game if somebody more important to you than you is coming to the wedding.
No,
now you get bumped back.
No, there's no way in the world I'm buying a season ticket where I sit in this seat every game where all of a sudden they're going to bump me. There's no way.
If a more important cardboard cutout buys that seat later, everybody gets bumped down.
Well, why would you have that? Once again, if you're a season ticket holder, I'm buying that seat and my cardboard cutout better be in that seat. Why? Of course. There's no way in the world you would want. That's the seat I'm sitting in right there. And this is the reason why you could charge a premium on these seats that are behind home plate. A real premium. And how many people would just want the cutout once again, once
when
it's all said
oh, yeah,
and
absolutely,
done,
I would.
Just to take home?
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. This is pure brilliance. There'll be people that would love to get this, pay $99 for a cardboard cutout that is actually going to be somewhere at Chase Field and might actually get on camera. Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about it. This is pure, unmitigated genius.
By the way, I got a tweet from Ben that happened almost exactly the same time as Danielle, but I'm impressed that they both had the same idea. The B team for the Arizona Diamondbacks coming up this year that will be working out of Salt River and be ready to be called up to Chase at any moment. They are the D-back ups.
I had to laugh. I had to laugh, ladies and gentlemen, because I'm going on vacation in 15 minutes.
You got to stay around and do sudos. Come on, you know that.
No, I know. What a kick to the face that
so
is.
So you don't take care of all your business days before.
Stop it. I've set out all sorts of, hey, I'm leaving. Get this in. Get this raid in. It's just the way that it works, ladies and gentlemen. I got yelled at, as a matter of fact, by the Warrior Queen yesterday because I was so impatient. Impatient with the process. And why in the world would you wait till the last day? Even though that's how I operate.
That's pretty good. Coming up next, it's going to be hard for all of us to listen to how many times Ron Wolfley interrupts Paul's call when he's mentally checked out and you have no idea what he's about to say. A Friday Paul's call before a Wolf vacation. It's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Yeah.
Paul's Call is brought to you by Brooklyn Bedding. For the best sleep ever, go to brooklynbedding.com.
Hey, it's your call, man.
Paulie Postis never mails it in.
Hey, nitwits, it's Paul's Call.
You know, here on Paul's Call, we pose the tough question.
You serious with that question?
Who's got less going on than Ron Wolfley?
Absolute indulgent rubbish.
Wolf, where's your license? What's your middle name? Is it Jack?
Jack Squad!
You got that right.
We had to look far and wide because, I mean, even Sun City retirees, Doug, they get out and about more often than Wolf. I mean, you know, of course, they're on golf carts, but...
And I never slice.
I slice, Paul. May we present the what? Yeah, but you know what? 7 minutes from now, you'll be slicing out on the golf course. We get that. May we present the one guy, the only guy with a more inactive, sedentary lifestyle than Wolf.
Okay, here's the deal. First story, it's a big one. We've got a chicken serial killer on the loose.
What?
We've lost quite a few.
Call this CSI Jay Cutler. As the former QB is so bored in retirement.
How bored is he, Paul?
That he's devoted and obsessed with who's killing his chickens.
Tell him, Duke boys, I got him this time.
There's a chicken killer at large on Cutler's ranch, so...
Tonight, we're going to set up a trail camera, see if it's coyote, bobcat, I don't know, raccoon.
Or maybe it's Jay Cutler's own cat.
Could be an inside job. Thelma over there, while she looks nice and sweet, is a savage with loose morals.
His house cat is described as a savage with, quote, loose morals. So Cutler is setting up security cams everywhere.
Thelma, hey, cat, I hope you don't show up on camera tonight.
All right, that was to start the week. So survey says, what's the verdict?
Survey said.
Jay Cutler with an update. Envelope, please.
We needed news. Didn't get any news. No pictures on the cam, as expected. We're obviously dealing with a pretty intelligent predator.
I'm feeling you, Jay. Same deal over here at Casa Calvisi with my mousetrap on the back patio. They keep licking off the peanut butter.
You fucking sneaky bastard.
Solly, if only you showed that much initiative and leadership.
Speaking of Jack, that's what I'm getting out here. I mean, hey, Jay, what about your prime suspect, though?
I think it is safe to say it's not the cat. So I think we can take her off the suspect list.
Okay. I guess that's good news.
Okay, there it is. Is he really doing this, Paul? Is he really doing this?
I mean, Jay Cutler, when you get serious, I'll tell you what, you can hire us over here, Paulie Poultry, and we'll come in and pack. The sawed-off shotgun of sports.
Boozing.
Sports takes and Jay Cutler's motivation level in Wolf's direction.
Boy, but the hunt continues. We'll see what happens today.
Another day of absolutely nothing for Jay Cutler, who needs an occupation really bad at this point. I mean, something, anything to occupy his time.
Boom! That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, yeah, put him on Duck Dynasty, and he'd be a perfect fit. Because if you remember what he did on Very Cavallari, nothing.
His latest thing is he watches deer cams. So it's like live feeds of deer eating out of a deer feeder, not even on our property.
Okay. How do you know you need a gig when you sit around all day watching deer cams?
You've got to be kidding me, Paul.
How about the fact, remember, he signed a deal to be a TV analyst, and then the Dolphins signed him. So he went and did that, and yet nobody wants him again. I tell you what, call Jake Plummer and let him hang with Cutler, because remember when Jake the Snake called the Doug and Wolf show?
I'm just rolling with my dog, and you know, right. I'm not sure if this is legal, but I got three chickens.
What?
Three chickens that are in the trailer, and we're just rolling north.
All right. Thank you, Jake.
That was great.
The Warrior Queen wants chickens based on onions.
Wolf, guess what?
Are you staying in the guest house?
The Warrior Queen might get a robot just for you as play it.
Thank the kill.
Robots get slower.
It's called a sloth bot, Doug.
Sloth bot is a new robot designed by researchers at Georgia Tech.
Its job is to monitor environmental factors like temperature, pressure, or carbon dioxide.
And since it's gauging environmental factors, it can move because it has to match all the alacrity and urgency of erosion.
Yes, it actually does look like a sloth.
Something that's kind of adorable.
Slothbot has a 3D printed body and long arms that help it move along a cable using solar power at a sloth's pace, of course.
It has to be as fast as the thing it's monitoring. It has to move at the speed of a plant.
Oh, my goodness, Paul.
Even the Slothbot is more productive than Jay Cutler right now. That's what we say.
I was funny, Paul.
It's a football Friday. Can we play it, please?
Paul talks to football players and tries to stay out of the way. It's the Pauly Pigskin Report.
Yeah, Pauly Pigskin Report.
All right, show of hands. Who says football is essential? Dan Orlovsky.
A great majority of the NFL guys live paycheck to paycheck. They are not just taking care of their family. They're taking care of their families, plural, family members. And so it's essential because this might be the last year that they can make that $500,000. They need this season.
It's critical to so many guys for so many reasons.
You need me on that wall.
Now, who says football is not essential? Saints safety Malcolm Jenkins.
Until we get to a place as a country where we feel safe doing it, we have to understand that football is a non-essential business. And so we don't need to do it. And so the risk has to be really eliminated before I would feel comfortable with going back.
Okay, now here's the question. Either side of this, can someone, anyone, look into their crystal football and forecast our football future?
Deal. Or no deal.
What is the deal? Season or no season? Jeff Darlington, what says you?
Generally speaking, there's just this sort of cloud of uncertainty. Feeling the same way maybe the rest of us are. I was casually talking with one franchise quarterback just the other day. Saying, oh, when you heading back to your city to start camp? And he just looked at me and goes, I don't know. And I think that that's probably indicative of the way everybody is feeling right now.
Define franchise quarterback, please.
You're an insider.
One that's young enough to not have moved to the actual city he plays in.
I mean, don't know. That's your inside scoop.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Doesn't help us out very much. I mean, you know, you got anything else there, Darlington?
Right now, all these players are sitting here saying, I don't know when we're going back. The league still has time. I'm just saying right now, if you're wondering when football is going to be played, so too are the people who play it.
Well, in the absence,
no, they're not. July 28th, Paul. Yeah. Have faith.
Okay. In the absence of information, there's only really one thing to say.
Honest to goodness, I don't know. I don't know.
Coach Parcells. Big finish.
Wrap this up, Paul.
It's
time for another
edition of
Happy Gold Dang.
That's right. It's Paul's call, and it's still all about Wolf.
You got that right.
Attention, single guys looking for dates.
Hey, you guys!
If you want to enhance your chances with the ladies, avoid two things.
So pathetic.
One, never play Lover Boy. Not on a Friday, never.
And
there, I got it too.
Number two, if you're a dude, do not post pictures of you and your cat.
Because a new study has found that women are less likely to swipe right on men if they're posing with a cat in their dating profile.
Don't do it. She won't swipe right.
I'll be gall dang.
It's a real study. Right? And I mean, okay, no matter. I mean, no matter that we're in the middle of a pandemic. And instead of working on a vaccine, we've got a university researching dudes who post cat pics.
The researchers from Colorado State University, they showed women photos of two men, one posing with a cat and one without. The women were then asked to rate the men on different attributes.
And the men who are seen in pictures with their cats,
here, kitty, kitty,
were not seen or viewed as someone ladies would like to date.
You can act like a man. What's the matter with you?
Yeah, that's pretty much the case, as the survey says.
Found that men holding cats were viewed as less masculine, more neurotic, and less dateable.
More neurotic and less dateable.
Dogs, Paul.
I mean, you're not exactly seen as Captain Testosterone when you're wearing a cardigan sweater and holding a kitty cat.
There ain't no damn team. It was just one man, and he's standing right in front of you.
So, single guys, take some free advice over here from Paulie Player.
Hey, how you doing?
And as a guy whose testosterone count is annually higher than Wolf's, do yourself a favor, and if you want the swipe rights, then Photoshop the feline out of your profile pic, okay?
I'll be golden!
That's right. I have no idea why I'm laughing. It's just funny because I got vacation in 1 minute.
That's Paul's call.
Thank you, Paul!
How did the show make you feel? Doug and Wolf's.
You and Tabby. Not good.
Brought to you by Carol Royce with Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Looking to buy a nice home and can't find one? Go to OurNiceHomes.com. That's OurNiceHomes.com.
My big takeaway from today's show. It's just how fantastic the shows of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday are going to be.
Two things. One, Wolf always brings up Bear and the dog, but he never admits how he has a cat. And number two, fresh meat, Wolf. Max Starks, I'm coming for you on Monday.
Hey, let me just say this right now. The cat is long, long gone, and that was always a Warrior Queens, even though I did love him. Peace and
tell me what it's all about.